Couple announcements. Women's brunch / clothes swap. Don't ask me. But it is April 1st at 9:30. April 1st at 9:30. I know that the women would love for you to be there and participate in that. Our Easter egg hunt, which is now an annual thing, is coming up on April the 15th at 10:30. We have a sign up. On the back wall, there's some sheets that you can, if you want to volunteer, we'd love for you to volunteer. There's some places there that you can sign up and just leave it on that back wall. That will be a fun time, though, for the whole family. And then finally, VBS, and you know, some of these things we're trying to do, we're trying to reach out to our community. And so VBS is something new that we're adding this summer. We need volunteers for that. So what we're going to do is next Sunday, right after church, we're going to meet for 5 minutes. Literally, it's just going to be, we just need a head count. We need to see faces, get names down. And Brooke's going to just share just 5 minutes worth of information. So next week after church, right downstairs in the fellowship hall, if you're interested in volunteering, and by the way, we need a lot of volunteers. So please come and get some information next Sunday. We'll remind you again. Thanks for being here this morning.
Test 1, 2. Am I on there? Good. Welcome to Skyline. My name's Jonathan. So glad to be here with you this morning as we continue talking about marriage and relationships. And we got at least one excited individual in the room. So thanks for coming back this week. Last week was really fun and fun for me. It might have been hard for you to listen to what I said, but I'm glad you're back anyways, which is really nice. So thank you for that. I actually got a text message from one of my friends here at church, and this is, just wanted to read it, which I think is a really good point that I want to kind of just start with this morning. He texted me, said, "You know you're becoming a family when you can sit through a sermon that you have a different opinion about and not let it ruin the experience." And I was like, thank you so much for that. I was like, I love that. And then I responded, I said, right on, you know, it would be super boring to agree with on everything, right? Like I would never go to a church that I agree with everything that the person who stands on stage, because it's, one, it's impossible to find that likely. But two, I don't think that's what we're meant to do. I think we're actually meant to embrace diversity of opinion. We're meant to learn how to love people that we disagree with on things, and especially on secondary issues, right? On things that you're like, this isn't the gospel of the kingdom. This isn't what Jesus preached, right? Now, if you and I differ on opinion whether Jesus was the Son of God, okay, we're gonna have like a difference there. We're gonna have to sit down and be like, wait, okay, this is really important, right? This really matters. But on something like roles in marriage, right? Like we wanna be able to have like a diversity of opinion and see that reasonable minds can arrive at different conclusions. But the basis of our relationship in church shouldn't be that we hold all the same theology or doctrine. It should be that the love of Christ compels us to love each other and to work for his kingdom here. So I just love that text. It was really encouraging just to say like that that this person and I have a relationship that isn't based on agreement. It's based on mutual respect and love for one another. And I love that. He also added, but it's easy to listen to you also because you're roguishly handsome and super humble. I didn't ask for that, but I'm just joking. Just joking. So this morning should be much easier to digest than last week. We're going to be talking about communication in marriage and how to communicate in a loving, healthy way. And I've got a short video that I'm going to show here in a second, but I want to preview it again because I just want to make sure you understand that I don't agree with everything. This is the disclaimer, right? The Twitter disclaimer. All retweets are not endorsements, right? This is like, there's some gendered stereotypes in this video, right? So before your hackles go up, right, and you get angry at me, like, so did you know they actually did a study? They just recently identified where your hackles are. They're right here at the back of it. Like, literally, they've identified them, and they're, no, I'm just joking. I'm totally kidding. Anybody know what, that's such an old school word, right? All the old people are laughing right now because, like, hackles. Like, I haven't heard that in a long time. So there's gendered stereotypes, both from the male side and the women's side. Okay, so just let it go and just enjoy the video. It's about kind of the way that it's difficult to communicate, right? Okay, so can we hop that video up there?
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I... That's good. That's good. So, as I said, you know, obviously there can be struggles in communication in marriage, and you know, that's the typical thing, is that women just want to be listened to, men just want to fix problems. But that obviously goes both directions, and I think what you see in this is that people communicate differently, and it's interesting that every time you communicate with another human being, they're bringing a need to the table. Right, that they're wanting to be heard and recognized and met, and the other person's bringing kind of a toolbox of how they meet needs, and they apply it to that problem. And it's interesting, just to go along with the video, that if all you have is a hammer, right, everything looks like a nail, even one that's in your head. And so I think it's one of those things that trying to figure that out is just really, I feel like there's so much, and it's funny because we talked about this last night at the Married Night Out. Todd talked about communication, and he mentioned he and Laura communicating the first few years of their marriage. And I feel like the first few years of marriage really are about learning how to communicate to one another, learning how it actually works, learning how this person feels when certain things happen certain ways. And so you have, like, people communicate differently, like human beings, like all across the spectrum have different desires, different expectations, different ways that they've learned how to communicate. And then obviously there's ways that men and women communicate differently. And so God's hilarious ideas to put them together and watch us try to figure it out. And then you also have, right, you have this whole family history about how your family communicated growing up, right? Like, how did you solve problems? How did you speak to one another? And so we've discovered this, Annie and I, in our family. My family is full of teasers, and if you get teased, that means they love you. Annie's family does not tease, nor do they appreciate it at all. And it's so funny, because I'm like, no, that means, haha, like my dad is just, he's hilarious. Like, I remember one time, like, somebody's like, he'll just walk by and just pinch the back of your arm, and you're like, what, ow, like, people he barely knows, but it's funny how he gets away with it, and it's funny. But if you did that, they'd be like, what, you assaulted me, what are you touching me for? But he's just like, he's a teaser, and I'm a teaser, and so I've had to learn that Annie and I'm not allowed to tease, in our relationship, and I stumble into it every once in a while, and I get disciplined, and I understand again that that's not appropriate. But it's funny to see even in our kids, right? So, like, Judah, Lena, if she falls down and people laugh and think it's funny, she, like, will kind of get up and be like, oh, she'll start, like, make a little show out of it, right? If Judah falls down and you laugh at him, it's a volcano erupting. It's like, no, don't laugh at me. I mean, it's like, and so just trying to figure out, like, okay, everybody's different. You know, how do we do this? You know, and it's just really, it's really hard. And I think what happens a lot of times is we get to the point where we're just like, this is how I communicate, and I just want you to be okay with that. Rather than, like, trying to figure out how do we change, right? How do we adjust? How do we learn each other? How do we become a student, both of the idea of communication and of your spouse, right? And how they communicate, their preferred method. And this comes back to, right, it's not one or the other. It's Ephesians 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Like surrendering your will both to each other and saying, like, how do we learn how to communicate in a healthy way? Ephesians 5, it's interesting. Right before the husband and wives passage, you have in verse 15, if you have your Bible, you can turn to verse 15 of chapter 5. And it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I think it's really interesting. Paul's, he's imploring us at the very beginning to become wise. And there's a consistent thing. If you are able to spend time around somebody who has spiritual wisdom, one of the things you'll understand first about them, or really quickly I feel like, is wise people learn how to communicate well. They just learn what to say, what not to say, when to speak, when to be silent. Like, I mean, it's like when you're around a wise person, they measure their words, and we'll go through this. But Paul's just saying, like, just let me set this up at the first, just to, for you to seek to be wise. And then he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, right? So seek wisdom and be filled with the Spirit. And then it says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it's interesting that Paul prefaces this idea of mutual submission with these ideas, and the last one before he tells you to submit out of reverence to Christ is really a thought about language. It's about singing in your heart, spiritual songs, like let your language, it's like learning a new language. When you become a Christian, the idea is that your language, the way you speak, the way you communicate, the things your heart dwell on should change so that you're ready in the moment to begin to submit to one another out of Christ, out of reverence for Christ, that you should actually change the way you address one another, right? And it's fascinating if you meet somebody who's taken this in, and my I was talking yesterday about my grandparents. It's funny to see how relationships have changed with grandparents. Like now grandparents like get around and wrestle, and they buy their kids, the grandkids, lots of stuff. And they do all these things. Like my grandparents were not those type. Anybody have like, my grandparents were not those type of people. We went to their house, and there was no running. There was no jumping on the bed. There was no loud noises, right? If you wanted to do that, you went outside, right? That's what outdoors was for. Indoors was for sitting peacefully and talking mostly about God and the Bible and his plan for your life. And it was awesome, but my grandpa had so integrated scripture into his speech. Like when you talk to him, it was as if he had like all these things put to memory, and he would address you in psalms and spiritual wisdom and all these things. And he was the most pleasant person to be around. He was kind and he was thoughtful. He listened well. He was wise, but he had taken this verse to heart, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So I think there's one of these things where just from the beginning, as we think about communication and marriage, it really is like a sanctification of our language and of the way we think about communication, right? Both from our background, both from how the culture trains us to speak and to talk and to think. And really, I look at it, it's a lot of times in our marriages, it feels like it's kind of like the idea of like cell phone reception, right? When you have a bad cell phone, you're breaking up and you hear every other word, right? And you're trying to talk to someone, you're like, and you're like, you're breaking up, and they just keep going, and you're like, I can't hear it. You know, it's like, it's the most frustrating thing. It feels like that sometimes in marriage and in relationships where you just feel almost like you're speaking, like there's like something going on, there's a break in the conversations. There's something happening here that we're not quite getting. So I want that to be the basis this morning. And I just want to give you some like, really, like this will be the most simple tips for communication from someone who is in process, right? Can I say that? Like I am in process learning how to communicate, even though I'm 38 years old, learning how to communicate both with Annie, with our kids, with the people I interact with. And so these are current learnings and also challenges, right, that I have to communicate in a godly way in my marriage. But it's going to be things that it's not like there's nothing new here, right? So there's nothing you'll be like, oh, man, that's all. You got to get the podcast for that, man. You got to listen to this marriage sermon. There's nothing new here. It's really simple, right? Okay, so just number one, right, just when you're communicating in your marriage, in your relationships, and to communicate clearly, right? So this is the first step, is I think we all need help to communicate clearly, both in our marriage, but with everybody we interact with, to let Jesus says this, right? He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Richard Foster is one of my favorite authors. He writes about spiritual disciplines. He's got a whole chapter about the discipline of simplicity in his book. And one of the key aspects of the discipline of simplicity for him is simplicity in speech. He said, we allow our speech to become so complex, and we talk around things with so many words, and we add all this stuff when it could be just yes or no. And yes or no should be enough, right? It's kind of back in the old days where a handshake was enough to secure a contract, because you didn't need all the stuff. If I shook your hand, it meant that I'm going to fulfill my obligation. If I say yes, it means yes. If I say no, it means no. You're not wondering what I'm feeling or thinking or desiring. But I think it's this thing that's interesting, because I feel like a lot of the run-up to marriage these days is full of lots of games, right? Lots of trying to woo somebody, trying to like not put yourself out there too far because you don't know yet. Do they like me? Do they not like me? Am I playing hard to get? And it's like there's this game of communication, right? And then you get into marriage and you realize the game doesn't work very well anymore. We need to learn how to say what we mean and mean what we say, right? This applies just in three different areas. Number one, I think that we can do a better job at saying very clearly what we're feeling. And I know that can be hard sometimes, right? Because our feelings they can be complex. But I think just being able to speak clearly about I'm feeling this way, and not having to apologize about it, right? Not having to say like, "Oh, I'm sorry," but actually just saying like, "I'm angry right now," or this is really funny. That sounds weird to say this, but it can be really hard. And I know for some of us, it can be more difficult than others to communicate what's going on inside of us. Communicate it really clearly. For those of you who do any kind of personality stuff, I'm kind of an Enneagram nerd, and I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. Anybody else an 8 in here? Apologize to all your friends and family if you are. No, am I the only one? Yeah, Jacob. Yeah, me and you. That's right. we're 8s. So this is not about you, Jacob, but it's about me. I like to call the 8 the jerk. When you read it, you're just like, man, this guy, like, what's his problem? Like, I'm reading, oh, yeah, that's me. But it's the biggest fear for the 8 is vulnerability, is that you might expose yourself and somebody would hurt you. So like what the personality of the 8 does is they're strong and they're confident and they're assertive and they're like hard chargers. They get things done, and it's like great people. Like MLK Jr. was an 8, and so I was like, all right, good. Like they're like, there's one good guy in there. But it's this interesting thing that it's really hard for me to sit down with somebody and tell them how I'm feeling. It's like really difficult for me to like, I'll sit down. So Annie, it's like when we talk about these things, our conversations take a really long time. Because I'm sitting there going like, all right, how do I do this? What is the way to do it? I know that I need to get better at clearly communicating what I'm feeling. What's interesting, though, on the other end, I have no problem communicating what I'm thinking, right? Because I think in terms of logic and so it's like, if we're talking about thoughts, I'm just like, and I'm like, you know, a fire hose all over you. And you're like, will you stop? Just give me a breath here for a second. But it's like communicating clearly what you're feeling, communicating clearly what you're thinking. And lastly, I think communicating clearly what you're desiring, right? What's the desired outcome that you have of this communication that we're taking place, of this part of our relationship? What do you desire? And I think so much of our miscommunications come from a lack of clarity about the desire that's operating underneath the surface as a part of this conversation, right? Like if you desire closure, you're gonna really go for like, I want to have closure right now. If you're desiring to just have it over with, you're just gonna agree, try to like let it go, push it off. Like what are you desiring? And this is what I think. I think there should be no mystery in your communication with your spouse. Right? There should be no wondering what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're desiring. Like it should be really clear. And you should stay in it until it's clear, right? You should stay like in that place until it's really clear what's happening there. And I think it's one of those things where, right, if you don't communicate clearly, then you can't expect your spouse to understand and to meet your needs, right? And so it's not this thing of, I thought you would have known, right? How many have we've had that conversation? Well, I just kind of assumed that when I said this, you would understand that I meant that. And they're like, well, you didn't say that, so how can you, right? Like, you kind of go through these things, or when I did this, you know, I thought it meant this, and you, and it's just crazy how little, like, usually marriage is between two, like, communicators who are like, everything I would do and I would anticipate, like, Annie would be the same, right? It's funny, it's like, we have a running joke in our house, like, Annie has, like, a premonition of where I'm going to be 5 seconds from now, and places herself right there, like, and so I'm like, ah, yeah, walk in, I run into her, and I'm like, what, how do you do that every time? Like, it's really, like, we need to find out, because it's amazing that it's like, you just kind of meander, like, into my path, and I'm kind of the guy who's always, like, I'm, like, moving on prayer, and I run into her, and she's like, you just ran into me. I'm like, yeah, but I was heading that direction. You didn't know it, but I had slightly turned, and you should have anticipated where I was going, and not be in my way. That's like my mindset. But it's like, you just think about like how differently you do things and communicate and just trying to understand each other. But like I'm working hard to communicate clearly, like I said, especially like on the feeling side and on the desiring side, that just so she will know, right? Because like you build these expectations. A lot of our unmet expectations are because we just didn't communicate clearly. And those like build into like, all sorts of stuff, resentment and all sorts of things, right? The second thing is communicating kindly, right? So the first thing is to be clear. Be really clear with what you're saying, how you're feeling, what you're thinking, desiring. The second is to do that in a kind way. And this is my biggest fault, right? So I typically communicate pretty clearly. People don't usually have to wonder what I'm thinking. Like I said, maybe feeling is a tougher one. But my struggle is I tend to be very direct in my communication, right? And so it can come across sharp or cutting or just like very matter of fact. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's interesting when you think about those two things, a soft answer, it turns away. A soft answer is like, things just bounce off, but when they bounce off, they bounce at a lower velocity than they came in, right? But the harsh answer is stir, right? Where you get this picture of it stirs up anger, right? And we've all been there, right? Where you know you're in a conversation and you know you've got a chance to either escalate, right? Or to de-escalate. And in that moment, it happens so quickly that like you're like, oh, and it's so hard to not escalate it. It's like, oh yeah, you went there? Watch this, I'm gonna go here, right? And then it goes there, and you're like, oh yeah? Just wait, because I'll go, I mean, if you're competitive at all, like, I'll just say competition doesn't work in communication. You're not competing, you're communicating. And it's like, the goal isn't to win, it's to be married and to love each other. My father-in-law said one time that you can either be on time or be married. And I was like, okay, I'll be married, I guess. And I'll be on time, but maybe we all won't be on time. But a soft answer, and that's just so interesting. So here's what I'll say. A soft answer can't come from a hard heart, right? Like a soft answer has to come from a soft heart. So Paul's saying, be filled with the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit softens your heart toward those around you. But communicating kindly, Colossians 4:6 says this, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. Let your speech be filled with grace. And I think this is something that's really hard to cultivate on a day-to-day basis in marriage. Somebody that you see every single day, somebody that you vowed to be together till death do you part, somebody who, like, you're working in so many functional aspects trying to make life work, that it's really easy to like, go to like the lowest form of communication, very functional, very directive, very business-like, very transactional, right? In ways that they aren't very, very kind, and they're not soft, and they're not filled with grace. But how do you communicate kindly with your spouse? And I think this is the thing that's interesting, is that if marriage is a bond, right, there's a bonding agent that it says the two flesh will become one, and they become bound together, they're bonded. Unkindness is like dripping acid on that bond, right? Every time an unkind word, a harsh response, it's literally like that bonding agent, right? So if it's glue or it's mortar, whatever you want to talk about in the physical world, being unkind is just like dripping acid on top of that, and it's just eating away every single time, right? And it's causing hurt, it's causing pain. But I think it's one of those things that we don't realize it until the bond gets so thin, right? Over either weeks or months or years of unkindness. And I think this is just one of those things that we have to identify. And the hard thing, I think, is we typically don't realize what our lack of kindness has done until it's too late, right? Until it's done so much damage in your relationship that it's hard to recover. But I think if we would have a more present view, right, like Paul talks about, where he's telling them, right, to be filled with the Spirit, and he's telling them just right before that, he says, awake, O sleeper, right? He's like, sober up and be aware that every single day is a chance to either live out the filling of the Spirit or to live out the worship of self, right? And the worship of self is going to continually run into the obstacle of the other person in your relationship, and they're going to, like, it's going to be a battle. And so one of the things that has impacted my life with this, it made me think, Annie, one of Annie's good friends from college this week lost her husband in a plane crash. And as we're talking about it, we're praying for her, and Annie's, like, calling her and leaving her a message, and just think about how crazy it is that And it struck me back to, like, I hope that their last week or two or day together was filled with kindness. Like, I was just praying that for her. I was like, oh, I hope that this season of life has been good, because it's such a sudden thing that to leave that, right, leave that thing open is such a brutal thing to live through, right? And I think that we don't think about that very much every day, right? Like, our last words to our spouse when they get in the car, when they go on a trip, or they whatever, just think about, like, if these were my last words to you, how would I feel about those? Would they actually express my heart to you and about you, or would they actually be about me and about my flesh? And some of you know my story. My first wife was killed in a car accident, and a few months after, I was going through her stuff, and I found a journal. And I had to read through her journal of our first maybe 9 months of marriage. And I had left the church I was working at as a youth pastor. I was really angry. It's like really angry at God. I was like on the verge of like walking away from my faith. I was really angry at the church because the church just kind of like, I mean, I worked my tail off. I loved their kids. I was there 6 years, which is about 10 times the average youth pastor. And when I left, it's like they basically did a series of things that just broke relationship, that just basically communicated to me, like, we don't care about you. We were just using you in the time that we had you. And I went 6 months, I couldn't find a job. And nobody in the church that I, like, worked and loved their kids, I call them, they own a business. I was like, I just need a job. Can I come and, like, can I come and change tires at your shop? Just eat, whatever it is. And if you wonder why, like, here at Skyline, why I'm so passionate to help people who go to church here, to say that there should be no needy among us, and nobody here should declare bankruptcy, nobody here should have a medical bill they can't pay. It's because I went through that, and the church basically said, you were just a pastor here. We weren't actually, like, brother and sister. But I was going through her journal, and just, like, these prayers were, in this season, it was just, God, why is he so angry? Like, oh, he was so unkind to me today. And she was, like, praying for my heart. She's like, God, change his heart. I know he's upset. I know he's angry. Like, that's not the man I married. It's not the one I fell in love with. What, like, and it's just, like, her pouring out her heart to God. And now the good thing was we had gone through a really good season before she died. So this wasn't current, but it was still looking back and having to deal with, right, and having to, like, give that to God to say, God, forgive me for being unkind. I didn't understand, like, the weight of my words in my marriage. And I wish I could say that means I've only spoken kind words to Annie. It's just not the truth. But I can say I'm more cognizant of it now than I ever have been, having gone through that. But I think it would help us measure our words. And I think it's one of those, too, that I think the hardest thing about marriage is one of the places in our life that is most secret. We do really well being kind to our spouse at church, right? Because everyone else is around, and people are listening, and people are watching, and you're in this place where we just worshiped. And we can walk into our home, right, and nobody's watching, nobody's listening, and we say things I was just talking this week with a group of guys doing accountability. Just like if we talk to our friends the way we talk to our wives sometimes, they would definitely not be our friends, right? Like, can anybody identify with that? Like, if I said that to one of my best buddies, he'd be like, you jerk, what are you talking about? I mean, like, we'd be like, we're not going to be friends, like, if you're going to treat me that way. And yet somehow, in the most important relationship in our life, we can excuse the way we speak. And I think this is revolutionary. If we would just say, like, man, I'm going to work my hardest to be kind in my marriage, to give soft answers. And so I've had to deal with this. Like, I'm kind of quick-witted. I'm quick to speak. I grew up playing sports where you got yelled at a lot. Anybody grow up and playing sports with, like, hardcore coaches? And it was kind of like, it's okay to yell at people and scream at them as long as you win. And winning changes everything, right? And so I can remember in college, like playing basketball and being face-to-face with one of my buddies. And he was like, we were like really good friends because he was super submissive. Like, the personality test, he scored like the highest you could. And he's like, sure, whatever, I'll do it. You know, he's just like one of those guys. But it's like on the basketball court, I'm like, be aggressive. I'm like, man, high five. Being in his face, like screaming at him. And after the game, like we won. It was like, oh, good job, man, high five. And it was like, now I'm like, that was such a, like, terrible thing to do to another human being. Like, such a weird context that we can throw away all of, like, societal convention, right? Same thing when you go to a game and you're like, you would never talk to another human being this way on the street, but if they're the opposing sports fan, you're like, come on, man, like, you know, like, talking trash and all this stuff. So I think we kind of, like, have grown in this society where kind speech is not valued, right? Soft answers are not valued. And if you turn on your TV today and you watch the news, or if you go and read the paper today and read the political commentary, all this stuff, you're not going to find a lot of kindness. You're not going to find a lot of soft answers. You're going to find a lot of stirring up wrath and anger. And this is a chance, I think, for Christians. It should be for spirit-filled Christians to, like, shine like stars in the society. As they say, like, wow, that community, listen to the way they talk to each other. They're so kind. And even when they have conflict, even when they disagree with each other, they don't break relationship. They actually lean into it. They're honest, and they work their hardest to stay in those things. Their marriages are seasoned with grace, right? So communicate clearly, communicate kindly. And last, just communicate consistently, right? Having consistent times where you're actually, the goal is to communicate with each other. And this is the hardest thing, is I think, in today's world, we're so busy, we're moving so fast, we have so many distractions. Last night, Todd showed a video about the effect of technology on our communication, right? And I'll just say this, if I'm holding my phone, you're gonna get, like, very bad communication. You're gonna get, oh, okay. And then also I'm like, wait, what? What did you say, Annie? Like, I'm like, I was saying yes to things. Like, you can get me say yes to almost anything if I have my phone up or if I'm, like, watching. I'm, like, locked into a screen. And I'm like, oh, sure, I'll do that. What, move across the country? I'm like, oh, wait, what? But, like, communicating consistently, and this is one of the things I have a goal to do that I did for a season, but I want to keep doing, is just kind of, like, daily. Do you have a daily check-in with your spouse where you actually sit down and everything is, like, screens are off, there's no phones, you're face-to-face, and you're actually saying, how was your day? How's your heart? How do you feel about the season we're in? Right? Are you tired? Is there anything I can do for you? Like, having an emotional check-in, an emotional connection, and I think it's just really hard because I think we get to the point where we just, like I said, our communication becomes so functional. So right now, Annie and I have 5 kids, 5 and a half and under, and we're building a house and, you know, whatever else. And this last week, we had a conversation. I said, I just want to be careful that all of our conversations aren't about our house and our kids. Where it's like every day, what's going on with the house? Are you happy with it? That's good. Did you talk to the contractor? Yeah, blah, blah. How are the kids doing? What did they do today? Did you get them? I need you to go here. You got to go there. And we go to bed, and it's like turn on our phone and read a little bit, and we actually, the way you relax and decompress is by yourself, right? It's either by yourself in a different room doing your own thing, and you're like, oh, we just need our own time, rather than figure out how could we actually relax and decompress together if we're one flesh, right? How could we sit down and say, how are you doing? Like, how's your, and I love, my favorite is John Wesley, which they would do at their accountability meetings, was the statement, how goes it with your soul, right? And I love that. It's like, at the deepest point in your life, how are you? What's happening inside there? How are you doing? And I know for some of you, you're like, that sounds terrible. You know, it's interesting that they've proven that men connect best shoulder to shoulder, right? So if you put two guys in a car, they can drive for 20 hours and talk. But if you put them like this, they're like, I'm like staring at you. This is weird. And so you'll see a lot of like, and I learned that especially it's more extreme in middle school boys, right? So I was a middle school pastor, and they're like, you know, take them out for a Coke, hang out with them. And you're like, so I take them out for a Coke, and we'd sit there, and they'd be like, scared to death. And I was like, man, I can lead any middle schooler to Christ. I just sit them down, and I basically, we're not leaving until you pray the prayer, kid. Like, and they're like, I'll do anything to get out of here right now. Like, I become Buddhist, Hindu, whatever you said to get rid of this. But like, if you take them and shoot hoops with them or play golf, it's like, it's awesome. They have a blast. We go play paintball together. We go do something. It's awesome. But like sitting down for a one-on-one conversation is like death. Or calling them on the phone. How's it going, man? Good. Good day. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you gotta figure that out, how to communicate. So I know this could be tough, but I think it's important to communicate consistently. And like I said, consistently about the most important things, right? Not consistently. You're going to communicate consistently about your kids and about your finances and about the vacations you're taking, all this other stuff, but communicating consistently about the most important thing, which is your heart and your relationship with your spouse, right? And last, just as we kind of wrap up, just a few things. One is just I want to exhort you this morning to listen, right? Listen, listen, listen. And I have been told multiple times that I'm a terrible listener. That's a great thing to hear, by the way. Somebody really loves you, and they're like, you're a bad listener. And I was like, okay. So I'm listening right now. I'm trying to take this in. And what's funny is I realized as I've gone on that part of it is I'm not a bad listener. What I'm really bad at is making people feel like they're being listened to. And it was a weird distinction for me because I was like, no, I heard everything you said. It's that I spoke too quickly because, like, you talked and I was like, my mind's working while you're talking and I'm answering and I'm, like, figuring out what I'm going to say, but I'm still listening. I could repeat everything you said. But when you got done speaking, I was like, bing, 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 bing. I had four things to say. They're like, you didn't listen to me. Even if everything you said was actually right on the point or appropriate, they're like, I didn't feel like you listened to me. And if I don't feel like you listened to me, it doesn't work, right? So this is what James says. Know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And what's interesting is those things are connected, right? People who are quick to listen and slow to speak are typically slow to anger. And people who are slow to listen and quick to speak are typically people who get stirred up to anger really quickly, right? So there's this thing about being able to listen and be able to sit and wait. And it's interesting that I feel like for me, walking through tragedy and suffering was the best thing for me because there's moments in those parts where there are no words, right? And if you're wise, you won't say anything. You'll just sit and be until that person speaks. And you try to take that in and you try to say, okay, like, how do I not ruin this holy moment where this person shared this thing with me? And it's allowed me to be better at being slow to speak, quick to hear and slow to speak, but it's still a work in progress. But I think our efforts to become listeners and to have listening hearts, to hear both the words, but to hear the heart behind the words. So these two things, listen, and then the last is pursue. This word that I feel like the Lord gave me this week was both pursuing Jesus and pursuing your spouse. So it's interesting, it says, when it talks about Jesus, it says, Jesus says this, he says, I stand at the door, right, and I knock. And then he talks about us in our pursuit of him to ask and to seek and to knock. Like the position and like the way our life should be aimed is in pursuing Christ. And then I think turning it around, if our marriages are supposed to look like Christ, right, then our marriages will be pursued. It'll be like ask, seek, knock, right? So it's like if your relationship with your spouse, your goal each week is asking, seeking, not this like posture of pursuit of their heart, where you're like, okay, I asked, I didn't get that, so I'm gonna seek. It's like, then I'm gonna knock. I'm gonna, like, the pause is after your heart every single week, every single day, right? And that should be the posture of our life, is pursuing him and pursuing our spouse. And so I think it's one of those things where it's easy to allow our pursuits off course, where we're pursuing a career, maybe, and we're asking, seeking, and knocking every single day at our job for success, for accolades, for acknowledgement, all that stuff. And maybe even you have other relationships where you're like, man, I really like this person. They're really fun. I found a new friend. And you're like asking and seeking, and now you're texting. You're like, let's have coffee. Let's hang out. It's really fun. And it's like your spouse is like, wow, I remember when that was me, right? When we would talk on the phone for hours. Do you remember that? Like, it's crazy how much people can talk on the phone when they're dating. And you're just like, I want to know everything about you. And it's like, I mean, it's like, it's maybe that's why in the olden times, they're like, it may be better to not know each other before you get married. So then you're knowing each other in your marriage, not like knowing everything. Then you get married and you're like, what now? But it's this thing. It's like, there's more to say. We just have to practice. So here's my challenge. Derek's going to come up. I want to give you a challenge this week, and I think it'd be really fun to try to meet this challenge. But this is all about prioritization, so I know it's not going to be easy, but I'd like to challenge you this week, every night this week, to spend 30 minutes with your spouse before you go to bed, sitting at the table, and connect emotionally. Ask, how was your day? How's your heart? How goes it with your soul? Is there anything in your life, right? Is there anything in here that, like, we need to talk about? Is there something about our relationship? Is there something, like, what, like, just let's sit and talk. And I know you're going, like, some of you might be going, 30 minutes? What am I talking, 30 minutes? But I think it's so easy for us to just, like, hit the default. And our default is just, like, our home life just becomes, like, split. You're doing this way, you're going that way. I'm doing this, you're doing this. I'm going to get on my phone, I'm going to read, I'm going to do that. And then so I think there's even something about, like, like, oh, well, yeah, we talk a little bit in bed at night. Like, I hit the line, like, how's your day? Good. What are we doing tomorrow morning? You got to get the kids. And they're like, and you're out, right? So I was like, you should be upright, right? And probably at your table. And what if part of that was actually you pursuing Jesus together? What if during that 30 minutes you said, like, hey, let's actually read a text from the scripture. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for our kids. And then let's just sit and talk for a while. And I think there's something about that practice daily that could be transformational. And I think in that, this morning, maybe before you take communion, because we usually take communion, people take it with their family, maybe think about what are some areas in your life that you need to communicate more clearly. You just need to be open and honest about this thing that you're like, oh, I've been wanting to say this, but I just didn't know how. It was like communicating clearly. Where are the areas in your life, in your marriage, in your relationships where you need like a massive dose of kindness? You need to be like, and this is the weirdest thing to think, like, man, how do I treat people at work? Because at work I'm trying to get ahead, I want people to like me, and it's like I'm just like really kind and thoughtful, and then like I need to transfer that to my marriage. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. And this goes past marriage. It's interesting, right after the wives and husbands, Paul tells fathers, don't exasperate your children. Isn't it interesting? Like, in the middle of that, it's like, hey, dads, here's what's going to happen. You're just going to be a bonehead sometimes, and you're gonna exasperate your kids. And you're probably going to exasperate them by being too harsh, right? By being too controlling or demanding or too, like, or even there's, like, this competitive thing. You're like, oh, yeah, you little sucker. I mean, I know, like, it's weird where I'm like, he's three, but I'm acting like I'm three, right? Has anybody gotten there where you're like, whoa? I'm like, time out, back up. I'm like, I'm being crazy right now. It's like, he's, like, bring me down to his level. It's like, but there's this thing about kindness that diffuses those situations, right? And then communicating consistently, maybe an emotional check-in, right, that I need to have weekly and daily with Annie, where I'm like, I'm actually expressing how I'm feeling and what's going on in my heart. So would you stand to your feet? I'm gonna pray for you. We're gonna take communion. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, I just wanna pray for us. Lord, I pray that you would take these really simple truths and shape our hearts with them, God. I pray that we would be the kind of people who would communicate clearly and kindly and consistently, Lord, about what's important with our spouse, that we would love each other with the love of Christ, a love that was slow to anger, abounding in kindness, and full of grace. So would you turn us into those kind of people, God? Would you help us to commit to practices and actions, God, that would shape our hearts into those kinds of people? And this morning, God, if there has been unclear communication, and if there has been unkind communication in our marriages, Lord, would you mend that this morning? Would you allow us to apologize and seek forgiveness and reconciliation and commit to a new beginning, Lord? We love you, and we thank you that we get to join at the table each week of your body and your blood, the bread and the cup, which display for us the kind of kindness and grace that should operate in our lives. You actually died. You bled and died, Lord, so that we could live like you, so we'd have the power to do that. So would that kind of the power of the cross, Lord, be alive in our marriages, in our relationships, in all spectrums? In Jesus' name, amen. There's stations in the front here. There's some in the back. If you're gluten-free, there's a station in the back corner on that side as well, so you can come and take communion as you feel led.